Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast with me, Sam Harris, your host. I invite fascinating humans from all walks of life to share their wisdom and unpack their mindsets and formulas for growth.
I am delighted to have David Meltzer on the show. He has confirmed that I'm allowed to ask him anything at all, so we'll see what happens. But firstly, we're just kind of intrigued by your life mission is to empower over 1 billion people to be happy, which is an amazing mission. But I just want to know why. Like, why did you choose that mission?
Yeah, so for me, it was accumulation of different experiences and culminating with my 12-year-old daughter at the time's friend committing suicide, setting me off on a research on how is it so many people are so unhappy. This is pre-pandemic, and the numbers were incredible. And before we could get to any of the other issues in the world, happiness seemed to be the biggest problem. People did not know how to create abundance in their lives. They didn't know how to help other people, and they didn't know how to have fun. And what I found was the common denominator of all happy people, whether they're rich or poor, sick or well, tall or short, skinny or fat, whatever religion, spirituality, or philosophy they subscribe to, gratitude was the only common denominator of all happy people. And so I started to figure out how can I create a collective consciousness of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude, of being able to teach people to create abundance, to help more people, and have more fun. And stemming from the core basis of being able to empower other people, to be happy, to learn gratitude, creating gratitude challenges, teaching people to say thank you before they go to bed and when they wake up, to teach them coherence of gratitude, to not only remember to be grateful, but to actually be grateful. Through this journey, I've created a mission to empower over a billion people, finding 1,000 people like you, Sam, to empower 1,000 people, to be happy.
Nice. That's an epic mission. Is there like a quick way that you can sort of, if you had 10 minutes with one person, what would you do to make sure that they always had more gratitude?
You know, for me, it would give them the 5 daily practices and go over those with them and have them commit to a minimum amount of time to do these 5 daily practices, to know their what they want personally, experientially, giving and receiving, who they can help and who can help them, how best to get it done with the lenses of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude, the lenses of efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success. Teach them to know their now, how to prioritize. Prioritization is the antidote to procrastination and feeling overwhelmed and anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful. And then finally, teaching them or having them think about there's something bigger than them, an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source that loves them more than their mom loves them, and that they can use that cornerstone to apply their why. Identify what is interfering with who they really are. Remind them they're happy, healthy, wealthy, and worthy. Teach them through the what, the who, the how, the now, and applying the why, how to clear what's interfering with their happiness, their health, their wealth, and their worthiness, instead of going on this endless journey of trying to get happy, help the wealthy and worthy.
Yeah, it's a great destination to sort of aim for, but actually when you reach things, you actually just got to enjoy the journey the whole way doing it. Do you ever reach a point where you're like, you're at the right amount of happiness and gratitude, or is it something you should just always seek to improve?
Yeah, so I'm on the enjoyment. The happiness to me is the enjoyment of the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of that potential. So I will never reach that potential because the universe itself is expanding, growing, and accelerating. I myself, a subscriber to the philosophy, not of pursuit of happiness, but happiness is the pursuit. So as long as I only spend minutes and moments in the day in interfering with that pursuit, then I will be happy, but knowing there's more happiness to come, that there's a world of more than enough of everything, limitless and infinity of happiness that I'm pursuing, but I'm enjoying the pursuit. So there is no pursuit of happiness. Happiness is the pursuit.
Yeah. I like that. And the same, it's like a way you can sort of, people generally try to avoid filling time with work because of they don't like their work. But if you really like work, you kind of almost want to fill your time with work, or you sort of be filling work with your time because of it's so much enjoyment. by giving your time into this work, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I don't believe in work, right? I believe in activity you get paid for and activity you don't get paid for. And, you know, work itself creates resistance, voids, and shortages. And, of course, if we can find the light, the love, and the lessons in whatever activities we utilize and prioritize, we're going to be much more happy than those people that are looking for what's missing, what they don't want, focusing in on the void, shortages, and obstacles, wanting what other people want for them. See, what we need to focus in on is what we want, who we can help, who could help us, how to get it done, prioritizing those things by applying this happiness or joy to the pursuit of the daily what, who, how, and now.
Nice. So if we just backtrack a lot to your childhood, what would you say were useful mindsets that like made you curious to sort of maybe go in this journey? And what were mindsets that were like really stupid and unhelpful that you've sort of changed as part of your development journey?
Well, one of the pursuits that had both the positive and the negative impact was the pursuit that I wanted to buy my mom a house and a car. Because my objective was to make a lot of money to buy my mom a house and a car, the positive that occurred was I learned to be consistent and persistent in the pursuit of making money. I also kept my options open because I was always looking at opportunities that made more money instead of living in a box, instead of living like a tube, food in, food out, instead of living like the myth of Sisyphus, like most people push a boulder to the top of the hill just to have it roll down to the bottom the next day. The positive aspect of having a desire that I must be what I can be in order to effectuate buying my mom a house and a car had all those positive impacts and attributes of learning. The negative part was that it reinforced scarcity by limiting me to wanting to buy my mom a house and a car, thinking money buys love and happiness and money was my objective. I created shortages, voids, and obstacles in my life. I lived at times in a world of not enough, where I was a victim because there wasn't enough money and I was focusing in on not having enough money to buy my mom a house and a car. Two, the scarcity of buying things as I made money that I didn't need, things that impressed other people, or I bought things to impress people I didn't even like. And so regardless of the amount of money I had, and I was a millionaire 9 months out of law school, a multimillionaire before 30 when I was running Samsung's phone division, multimillionaire with access to everything when I was running Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, the most notable sports agency in the world that they made the movie Jerry Maguire about, I still was unhappy because the negative impact of believing money buys love and happiness by confirming love and happiness can be derived from money created all of these resistance, shortages, voids, and obstacles of living in a scarce world. Until I realized that money was an energy, an object of energy that we put into the flow to get what we want. Until I realized it was aligned with my faith was an object of energy that I put into the flow to get what I want, always being protected and promoted. I started to realize the importance of money was simply money allowed me to shop. And if I shop for the right things for the right reasons with faith, I could be extremely happy. And if I shop for the wrong things for the wrong reasons, I would create a bunch of scarce limitations in my life that would only cause me or derive more interference between me and my ultimate happiness.
Nice. So you spoke about scarcity and the fact that earning lots of money doesn't actually make you happy, and money is energy that's just like a useful tool to make things happen. But how do you come to realize that? Because loads of people sort of go through this process where they make lots of money, they realize that that's not the source of the thing, and then they go on to do something more useful with their life and they do become happy. But it's very hard to have the freedom of thought without then having the money, because if you kind of have a scarcity mindset until you've made money, how do you think you could have taught that to you yourself when you still didn't have any money and you were kind of feeling scarce, if that makes sense?
I'm not sure you can. You would have to have an extremely good mentor, someone that sits in the situation that you want to be in. But that's the problem with being a parent, is that, you know, we've experienced certain things, and what we can do as parents is share those experiences with our children, the situational knowledge, the dummy tax, the lessons that we've learned. But human nature is to experience it ourselves. Unless someone is an effective communicator and allows you to not only experience the thinking, saying, doing part of what it's like to know that money doesn't buy happiness, but actually the feeling part, it will never reside in the subconscious and unconscious. It will never crack the quantum code. It'll never be part of your energetic or genetic inheritance until you experience it yourself. So all we could try to do is accelerate the learning curve, hopefully to minutes and moments, not days, weeks, months, and years, for the lessons that we've learned. And I don't think that most people could find a mentor that could effectuate the thinking, saying, doing, believing, and feeling part of money does not buy love or happiness. You have to experience it in that realm, subconscious and unconscious, yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So, I don't know if you've listened to much of Naval Ravikant, but he talks about the fact that you should try and aim to become wealthy first, but the wealthy isn't exactly just being a millionaire with a sports car. It's like having enough money that you don't need to worry about it to do the things you want to do. But then if you develop better forms of gratitude, you don't necessarily need to want to have like a sports car or fly in fancy jets and stuff.
You know, that's where I have actually evolved even further through experience, is that, you know, I have a client that bought a Lambo, and I was disappointed that he bought a Lambo. I said, haven't you learned anything from me? Money doesn't buy love or happiness. Why do you have to buy things to impress other people? He said, no, that's not why I bought my Lambo. I said, well, why'd you buy your Lambo? He said, well, I'm an inner city minority kid who grew up at risk, and a bunch of inner city minority kids that grew up at risk see my car and ask me, are you a football player, a basketball player? Are you a rap star? And I tell them, no, I read books and help people. And so the reason that he bought the Lambo is a reason to be happy by having money. See, what I said was money doesn't buy happiness, but it allows you to shop. And if you shop for the right things for the right reasons, like a Lambo to change other kids' lives, it's a great thing to own. And I can give you a lot of great reasons to have private aviation in your life. Not a reason of impressing people or buying things you don't need, but having the right reasons to utilize that money. And thus, this experiential independent variable is essential to people learning for themselves.
That was a good story. Thanks. That definitely explained the point. But yeah, I think we're in violent agreement. That is, because yeah, I definitely think you sort of often just need to make your own mistakes, but having money to do the right things is really useful. And being able to help others through what you do with your money is also a really important thing to do with it. And for some people, it's kind of almost like it seems wrong to talk about your money, but I think if you've done it through doing something useful for others, like you deserve to make money and stuff, especially when you're in more like the impact kind of space. It's sort of almost like,
yeah, I don't think money is it's an energy, right? It's not right or wrong in any way. It's like anything else. It's an object of energy that we put into the flow to get what you want. And if you don't get what you want, you learn from it. And like anything else, you know, when I lost, or I call it invest, over $100 million in 2008, I was being protected and promoted to a place that I never could have imagined. It was dying and killing off limitations, not taking away or punishing me. And I couldn't have known that or believed that unless I experienced it myself.
Wow. That's intense. I certainly haven't experienced something like that myself, and in the same way that they kind of say if you haven't experienced going like the dot-com bubble or like things before that, it's hard to really know what it's like. And periods of massive inflation, like my generation just has no idea what that's like to go through. And I don't think I'll ever know what it's like to go through sort of investing $100 million into something until I get there. And who knows? I guess I'll give you a call once I'm in that situation. But do you feel money is almost annoying thing in your life? Because sometimes I get really frustrated by like how easy it is for people to change their minds just due to money and stuff. And I'm like, can't you just have like a path of what you're on and then like the money is regardless? Because if I've always felt like I just do things because I want to do them, and then like some things I get paid well for, some things not, and I try to just not mind too much about it. But it's a hard one to, I don't know, money frustrates me in many ways.
Yeah, I try not to let anything create an interference in my life. Money obviously creates a need to be right, a need to be offended, a need to be separate, inferior, superior. Money causes a need to be anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful. All of these feelings interfere with our true potential. So what I've learned to do is spend minutes and moments in that interference. And when I feel that way, whether it's from money or some close relationship with a family member or other things that are more likely to cause this interference, I realize that my mind and body and soul are on fire, that I'm interfering with my great potential, and I stop instead of resist it, going over it, under it, through it, around it, manipulating it, cheating it, lying to it. I just stop. I don't resist it at all. And I don't accelerate into the frustration, anxiety, fear, etc. I simply breathe, find my higher self, my neutral, and remind, remember, and recollect what I want, who I can help, who can help me, and how best I can get that done, reprioritizing into an energy or frequency that's more productive, accessible, and gracious, allowing me to live in my why, not searching for a why that I already have, but applying the why to who I already am. And this strategy allows me, whether it be money or any other aspect that creates the ego-based consciousness, money being one of the primary ones that does, it allows me to spend minutes and moments in that interference so I can be more happy, make more money, and have more fun.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm prone to tangents, and one thing I've sort of found is you're a very good speaker. You come across quite poetic, and you sort of fill sentences with like every single part of your thoughts. It's really beautiful to listen, and it's nice. Did you practice a lot to be able to speak like this? Or was it something that you were always doing as a kid? Like, what? I'm intrigued.
So there's two aspects to it. One, with any skill or knowledge that we have, there's an energetic and genetic inheritance. So I've always been quick-witted or clever and be able to articulate what I'm thinking in a manner that was eloquent or frequency-based to be adaptable or acceptable by others. But that just remains to be a quantum possibility or probability or potential of mine, just as if LeBron James, he has a much higher potential of playing basketball than I do, but he has practiced harder and can more consistently than anyone that I know to complement that quantum ability. So yes, I've received an energetic and genetic inheritance that allows me to be eloquent and poetic in the way that I articulate things. But I will assure you that since I was young, I have enhanced that skills and knowledge, knowing that skills and knowledge of this ability would create a basement that's much higher than other people's potential. But I still have to pursue my potential because my desire, it is what determines my ceiling. This skill and knowledge of being articulate does not create a ceiling. It only creates a higher basement than most people have. So a combination thereof of an energetic genetic inheritance combined with consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential of being eloquent and poetic in the articulation of the values that I want to help people with or empower them with. So I appreciate the time. I wish I had more. Thank you so much, Sam. Please, everyone, reach out to me. I'm happy to give those 5 daily practices or the gratitude challenge. David@dmeltzer.com. Sam, thank you so much. Great seeing you.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Growth Mindset Podcast. Before you head on to another episode, what's your biggest aha moment from today's discussion? You can share with us your insights and join us on Reason FM. Reason FM is a social podcasting app and the best way to discover new podcasts, connect with hosts and other listeners. Also, don't forget to tune into the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast with me and my co-host Nico, and we expose you to a different perspective and dive into the world's most thought-provoking and inspiring books. That's all for this episode, and with that, keep learning and keep growing.